A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 191. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion about Kinvig. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Kinvig, a 1981 ITV comedy series, 7 episodes, written by the revered figure in British science fiction television, Nigel Neal, and tells the story of a simple handyman in his repair shop, and can he possibly be the key figure in an ongoing space war between two alien races? And it's quite an unusual diversion to comedy for Nigel Neal. It's not something we normally associate with him. We perhaps might remember some slightly comic moments in series like Beasts or in the otherwise very sort of dark story The Stone Tape. But an actual out-and-out comedy series, that's quite unusual for him, Brian.
Yes, and he did not even have that much humor in most of those other shows. So it really is quite a different take for him.
So last time we were talking about the idle repairman Des Kinvig and his shop, who's contacted by this beautiful alien from the planet Mercury, and actually who involves him in this sort of space war with the dreadful Zux aliens.
Yes, that's right. And Kinvig's friend Jim Piper has been talking constantly about all these UFO theories and conspiracy theories, and somehow Kinvig seems to be caught up in the real thing. So each episode usually features some evil plot by the alien Xux, the alien race, and it's often related to humanoid doubles or sort of doppelgangers of people in and around where Kinvig lives and sort of people that Kinvig knows and so on.
That's right. And it gives us this comedy of Kinvig and Jim running around the town, chasing down what they believe to be imposters. It leads to all sorts of comedy of confusion. I guess we could talk about the episode Double Double, where they believe that the aliens have created a humanoid replica of Kinvig himself, who is seen walking through the streets, walking a dog, which appears to be identical to the Kinvig's dog, Cuddly. And of course, that leads Des and Jim to sort of track this character, to almost stalk this man through the streets of Bingleton, with the usual, I suppose, comic effect of that. So yeah, often to do with aliens creating humanoid doubles.
Yes, that's right. That was a very big theme in this show.
Yeah, there's even the episode which is called The Humanoid Factor, where Jim and Des are convinced that they've discovered a factory which is where they're actually, the aliens are producing these humanoids. Of course, to us, it appears that it's a factory producing shop window dummies. But Des and Jim go to great lengths, of course, to stop them and to interfere with this process.
Yes, that's right.
And, of course, on the way, there are going to be some regular digs at UFO and conspiracy nuts. And, of course, also quite popular at the time, Uri Geller and his spoon-bending exploits, which were very sort of popular on British television at that time. And so we do have an episode where there's a lot of cutlery being bent. Interestingly, the cutlery that's all features the initials BBC, because it's come from the Bingleton Borough Council again. And it's another little dig both at the BBC and at Uri Geller.
Yes, of course it is. There is more than a little satire, and I may be a little bit generous calling it satire, but references to science fiction fans and conspiracy theorists and groups of these sorts of types, along with the BBC, of course.
Yes, Nigel Neal has sort of set his sights at science fiction fans and at UFO conspiracy theorists. And as you say, the BBC, plus a few other figures like Geller. So, he's making a few swipes at various people here.
Yes, and of course, that brings us to the idea that's sort of tucked away in this, which is Kinvig really in touch with aliens, or is this all sort of a dream and imaginary things that Kinvig and Jim are just acting out their fantasies based on the product of a dream or recurring dream that Kinvig has had? And, of course, the only person that Kinvig tells about this is Jim Piper, who seemingly will believe just about anything.
Yeah, that's right, because nobody else in the series has contact with the aliens at all, apart from Kinvig. We get repeated scenes of Kinvig either in his bed waking from dreams or in the shop where he is dozing and daydreaming. And I think it's quite easy to sort of imagine or postulate that this is all a dream of Kinvig, a man who's frustrated. Let's say it, he's also sexually frustrated, and there is the very attractive Miss Griffin who keeps coming into his shop shouting at him and demanding that he repair some item for her. So maybe this is all his fantasies that he's projecting onto her and creating this some rather strangely attired space alien that he keeps meeting.
Yes, it's definitely set up so that idea is there.
And of course, British sitcoms have got a long history of telling us stories about frustrated men who live out their fantasies in various ways. You could think of the deluded commander, Captain Mannerin of Dad's Army. You could think of Reggie Perrin, shows like Rising Damp or The Office even. All these shows about men who perhaps have dreams of things greater than their rather mundane lives.
Yes, that does. It does sort of fit with those in some ways, if you look at the series in that way.
And of course, we have Nigel Neal's own version of events, because he himself said that basically it was all imaginary. It was all Kinvig's dreams and imagination that was creating this alien space war.
Yes, that's right. So Nigel Neal, as we've mentioned, was very influential in British television, especially with Quatermass, but with other things as well. And he was also known to have reinvented the ghost story a number of different times and sort of working science into ghost stories and coming up with interesting explanations in things like The Stone Tape.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the most fascinating writer in the history of British television science fiction, as you say, Brian, you know, known that for not believing in the supernatural himself, but yet producing these great shows where he looked at ghost stories in a completely different way. And each decade came along and he would do something new and different with it, producing some great moments of television, which we've talked about in the past. And yet here is his only foray into comedy, I believe, Brian, into absolutely pure sitcom. And I think, you know, as our listeners can probably tell as we're going along, it's perhaps not his greatest work. It's an interesting footnote rather than one of the absolute classics that Nigel Neal produced.
Venus?
Venus is too bloody hot. There's nothing there but rocks, too hot to live on.
Just a minute, I said that.
Did you?
Well, something like it.
I don't doubt it. You have an exceptional brain. It's very much like ours. We belong to the planet Mercury.
Mercury?
Surprised?
But that's even hotter. It's close to the sun, isn't it?
You're dead right. But it's hollow, and we live inside. Meet my companions, Loon and Bat and Saga.
How do? Nice to know you.
How are you?
your name.
I think that's fair enough. And I think it also leads us into focusing a bit more on our own feelings about this, the good and the bad, if you will. So, Eamon, what did you like about Kinvig?
Well, I'd have to say up front that it is very well cast. I think the rather accomplished cast of television actors are all doing their absolute best. You know, people like Tony Haygarth and Patsy Rowlands and Simon Williams are very good. They're completely dependable. They turn in good performances. You know, we also have to applaud Prunella G for basically wearing less clothes in each episode as it went on. It's about the only reason I can think of for sticking with the series in a way. But yeah, the cast are doing very well.
Yes, I particularly like Colin Jeevans in this. After being used to seeing him play these sort of imposing and unsettling sorts of characters in things like his brief appearance in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and especially in his role as Stamper in the BBC House of Cards trilogy from the 1980s and 90s. It seemed very much against type that he was playing this sort of innocuous and not particularly sane character, but I thought he was a bit of a standout in this cast.
Yes, he is good, and as you say, he's always very watchable. Yes, he's great in House of Cards and playing a completely different character here. A rather tatty, down-at-heels, badge-wearing UFO fan running around with the latest newsletter about conspiracy theories and so on. So yeah, he is quite fun, actually.
And Prunella G has this sort of double role where she is on the one hand playing Miss Griffin, who is this very exasperated and shouty customer in the sort of way that would fit into this sort of sitcom. And she also has to play this strange over-the-top alien, and she pulls off the two of them and the sort of connection between them quite well.
Okay, so the cast are doing very well. The special effects and the look of the production, I mean, not too much noise special effects. I guess it's mostly down to the makeup and costumes of the aliens, Buddo and his three stooges, plus some of the sets for when Kinvig appears on the spaceship.
There are a few sort of electronic space scenes and that sort of thing. It's okay for its time. It lives up to what it probably should, I guess.
Okay. Anything else about it that stood out for you in the plus column, Brian?
Not a lot. I thought the strongest aspect of this was definitely the casting.
Okay. So I guess we start turning towards the negatives, and we have to mention Nigel Neal's writing, I suppose, and whether or not comedy is his thing.
I would have to say that based on this, comedy was not his thing. It was not very well-written comedy, and most of it I didn't think was all that funny.
No, it is, you know, probably the biggest crime of this show is that it isn't that funny. It tries hard for its laughs, and it doesn't succeed very often. We should mention that there are lots of laughs, but they come from the canned laughter track, which I guess at the time, Brian, was very common on both sides of the Atlantic. But of course, watching it now, it is a little bit grating and annoying to have this canned laughter.
Yes, having a laughter soundtrack can work well in some things, as it does with the live audience laughter in Red Dwarf, for example. But yeah, often it doesn't work very well, and that's more the case here. It's also true that there is this attempt at satire on the BBC, and especially of science fiction fans and UFO fans and so on. And I don't think that satire worked terribly well.
No, it doesn't work. And actually, viewed from this distance of time, it does look a little bit sort of petty and tawdry on Nigel Neal's behalf. That quite why he felt the need to keep having a go at the BBC and also to take swipes at science fiction fans you know, who largely made up his sort of devoted followers and fans themselves. They were the people who'd made him a success by watching Quatermass and 1984 and The Road and The Stone Tape and so on. So looking at it, it does seem a bit strange, and it seems like a sort of rather, as we've said, perhaps a minor and not altogether successful footnote to his otherwise glittering career.
That's right. Doing a satire that sort of makes fun of your own audience is something that can be done well, and it's something that that audience can often really enjoy, but it has to be done really well. It has to hit all the right notes of satire and get really good references to things that are out there happening. And this just didn't do that well, and it came across less as satire and more as simply making fun and, you know, thumbing his nose at a group of people that I guess he was thinking of from an experience being a guest at a science fiction convention.
Yeah, a strange experience that must have been for him. To have been a fly on the wall at that convention, see what it was that upset him so much. And yes, as you say, pulling off satire about science fiction, it probably needs somebody like Douglas Adams, I guess, Brian, to actually do it and succeed.
Or someone like, much later, the writers of Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
That was, in a way, what they were trying to do here, was something like Galaxy Quest, but it simply didn't work.
That's a very interesting comparison, because Galaxy Quest works so well, and this just doesn't.
The other comparison we have to make, I think, is to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because it was still a very new current thing at this time. The first radio broadcast of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was only a few years earlier, and it was only, I think, the previous year that the television version of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was broadcast. So it was still a recent thing, and it sort of made this science fiction comedy genre. And the problem was, it seemed like Kinvig was sort of joining in on that genre with pretty solid science fiction credentials with Nigel Neal as writer, but without the comedy writing skills there to back it up.
Yes, you could probably almost see the ITV bosses thinking at the time that, you know, space opera science fiction was popular at the time. Rescuing the Space Princess was popular. The BBC had had a hit with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so science fiction comedy seemed to be a winner. And of course, they had Nigel Neal, who was a very bankable author, so presumably they thought Kinvig was going to be a great success. We know that it wasn't, and of course it didn't get a second series, and we've just got this first series of 7 episodes to talk about.
That's right. This was also the era when Blake 7 was just sort of in the tail end of its run. So science fiction on television and space science fiction was a big deal, as was science fiction comedy because of Hitchhikers. So this does seem a little bit like bandwagon jumping in some ways, possibly not on Nigel Neal's part, but on ITV's part at any rate.
Okay. So I guess we're reaching the end of what we've got to say about Kinvig, and it comes to that moment where we have to make our recommendations to our listeners as to whether they should buy the DVD, Brian. How would you like to start us off, probably knowing where we're going to go?
Yeah, the short answer is no, I wouldn't recommend this. I didn't think it was very good comedy, and I didn't think the science fiction was substantive enough to make it work on that level. So if you are a completist for Nigel Neal or for science fiction comedy or what have you, then by all means, check it out. But in general, no, I really can't recommend this.
Okay, it's going to be the same from me. We, just to show us slightly behind the curtains, we make up our lists of the programs we want to watch about a year in advance. So Kinvig had been put on the list long before we actually managed to get hold of it and watch it. And of course, having watched it now, I think we were both very disappointed with something from Nigel Neill, which, as Gordon on Facebook says, probably just goes to show that even Nigel Neill can produce a dud from time to time as well. So no, I can't recommend that our listeners check out Kinvig, even if they are Nigel Neill completists. I would say leave this one off the list. It is a bit of a dud, and not at all funny.
Okay, so there you are.
However, as ever, if you think we're wrong, if you think that Kinvig actually is worth watching and has got some redeeming features, then please come along and tell us. Send us some feedback or jump in on the Facebook group and put us right.
I would love to hear a passionate discussion of why Kinvig is a wonderful classic. I've not heard that from anyone, but I would love to hear it.
Okay, there's your challenge.
So, in summary, Kinvig was Nigel Neill's comedy series from 1981, and it introduced us to the repairman Des Kinvig, who ran a small shop, not very successfully, it seems, and is apparently contacted by aliens, and meets Miss Griffin, who is a very irritated customer of his, but also appears to be this alien from inside the planet Mercury. And she is fighting against the evil Xux and draws Kinvig into the battle and allows him to bring his friend Jim Piper into things where they can combat these humanoid doppelgangers in their local town and forward the battle against these evil aliens.
Well summarized. So do tell us what you think. And of course, do please come and join us next time. We're going back to the 1970s, to that seemingly endless supply of interesting children's television shows from ITV in that decade. And in this time, we're looking at another little oddity, a show called Sky from 1975, which you might remember for some sort of weird, almost psychedelic goings-on.
Yes, that will be an interesting one to take a look at for sure. So you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are also part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can find us along with some other podcasts at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. And we have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there, and we have lots of fun discussions with listeners going on there.
Yes, do come and join us at Facebook, take part in the fun, the discussions, and in the prize giveaways from time to time. And of course, also join us on VogNetwork.com, the Voice of Geeks internet radio service, where you'll find many like-minded shows as well as British Invaders, and you can satisfy your interests in film, television, gaming, comics, and so on. So find us there at VogNetwork.com.
Yes, Vog is definitely sort of a community-driven site with this streaming radio component, and it's worth checking out. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, kneel before odd. Very, very odd indeed.